meeting to order. All please rise.
We're going to slip to our flag. Mr. Burnett, since you've stopped spilling pop all your places, could you lead us in a pledge to our flag, please?
Sir, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Give our clerk a second to get a little seat and do the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Muxler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here.
Great. All present at Kenneport. Thank you. Okay, next up is the public comment period. Maybe this will be the last time we do this or not. So this is the part where anybody in the audience can comment on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So anything that's not on tonight's agenda, you can comment on it. The public comment period. But you guys did want to talk about the downtown fees?
Yes.
So
we'll I want to talk about something else first.
Okay. So would you like to come forward?
I have to make a comment.
You're not allowed to just have one comment. You can have several.
I can. All right. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yes.
That goes for you because you're late.
And I'm Bob Bell. I have the Ferndale Mini Market. And I just want to thank the mayor and Public Works for responding to an issue with the parking parking in front of the mini market. And it was painted over, and I wrote an email, and within a short period of time, it was taken care of. I just appreciate it. It's nice to see government work that way, where we have a problem, and everybody seemed to jump in and help out. So thank you.
You're very welcome. To explain it, somebody, one of our volunteers in cleanup had decided to paint yellow paint in front of the store, which means you can't park there. Mm-hmm. And so I was gone after lots of research by city employees going, I think it's just a mistake. Don't look at it. It looks like it's painted by an amateur. Just paint it over. It's kind of unlean process, Rob, but it became very lean when I came back. Like, this was not painted by a professional. Now it's professionally done with great paint. So,
nice.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience would like to comment on anything that's on their mind? Sing a song, do a tap dance? No. Okay. Go to the public comment period. Council, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries. We're flying through this agenda. Give us lots of time to talk about other issues. Next up is a presentation by Puget Sound Energy. It was really nice and came and gave free light bulbs all over City Hall the other day, and I got one I haven't put in yet. So, would you like an introduction, you know? Brian Gentry and Pinky Vargas will come to the podium. Now, you can tell by, if you look at it, you can tell who's Pinky and who's Brian.
Not really.
Yeah, no clues at all, none whatsoever. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for Mayor and members of Council just for giving us a chance to come up tonight. I think as the mayor mentioned back in May, we had an opportunity to do a small business energy efficiency outreach, and Pinky Vargas is our efficiency manager for here in Whatcom County, and she did a great job of really basically making this thing happen. And I just wanted to have her just give a quick overview to you of what happened and kind of how many customers we were able to impact and help their businesses out.
Not as tall. Thanks for having us. On May 8th to 10th, we did a small business energy blitz here in the city of Ferndale. And we did it in collaboration with the city. They helped us with outreach, with promotion, as well as housed our crew for 3 days at City Hall. So let us come and go, use the photocopier only twice. And they were very gracious and very helpful in making us successful in this program. The blitz itself entailed walking the downtown core of Ferndale and offering free energy assessments for small businesses. We also offered free lighting upgrades. We collaborated with Sustainable Connections on the Community Energy Challenge, and we're able to also promote the residential program for the customers here as well. In total, we visited 114 businesses. 46 of those businesses said yes to a survey, and 40 of them are going to receive free energy lighting retrofits. So far, we have had 4 completed, and we expect to have all those retrofits completed by mid-August. So we're actually, honest, a little behind, but we're hoping to have it all done by mid-August. and get those energy savings out there. So just to estimate what that will do for us and for the city, we think that we will save with those retrofits about 2 million kilowatt hour savings. And that should also show on the customers' bills, and by saving them from 15 to 30% savings on their monthly bills, depending on how much of their business is just based on lighting and how much retrofits they got. So all in all, it saves all of us money. It saves us all energy. This was an experiment, a little bit of a pilot project to see if we could do it, and we chose the city of Ferndale, and we went to Mayor Jensen and to Greg Young, and they were very responsive and not only said, yeah, sure, you can do it, but housed us, took care of us, helped us promote it, and we just want to say thank you so much for this being such a successful program and for being open and willing for the city to take this on and to do this kind of project. And it really shows your proactiveness towards energy efficiency and your attitude as far as energy savings go. So thank you very much for your support.
Do you have any questions or anything for Pinky? Because you're still not, there's still businesses that could contact you and go through this.
They could.
We didn't get anyone, so if there are still businesses in Ferndale, if somebody complained about their bill, yes, they do it for free. It's a great program.
How would they find out? Is it on the PSC website? Or?
It actually is not on the PSC website. I can give you my contact information. It does have the small business retrofits on there. Our regular program rebates about 80% for lighting, but this particular pilot program, for most things like T12s to T8s, it's 100% retrofits. There's also some LEDs in there.
There was a flyer in my bill yesterday.
What's that?
There was a flyer in my bill
yesterday. Was there? For, oh, okay.
Yeah, for residential and business.
Was it the Energy Challenge or was it
no,
the
No, it
wasn't
the Energy Challenge. It was just, call this number. We'll come out and survey your home or your business and tell you what we can do for you.
I'm just thinking the Chamber of Commerce can put it on their website.
Yes, we can. And we're actually... We're not overly promoting it because it's been a pilot program, so we wanted to try and do it here, get up and running, and that's kind of why we're a little behind on the actual retrofits because we're getting all the contractors in place and that sort of thing. So we're kind of trying to get over that hump before we do a full-out promotion. But also we realize that customers are going to talk to each other, that the businesses are going to talk to each other, and we will not deny anyone who contacts us. And I can leave my card if anyone has any questions. But we're not giving it a huge push and promotion until we feel like this is complete and successful and we've serviced all these customers and we don't have a long backlog. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Are you
going to
be in town tomorrow?
No, but I can be if you need me to be.
Well, the Chamber office and the Visitor Center right across the street.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I am at the Chamber meeting. Isn't that Wednesday?
The luncheon?
On Wednesday.
Yeah, the luncheon. I will be at the luncheon on Wednesday.
Right across the street is the Chamber office.
Okay.
Going to go to the luncheon.
Yeah, but yep. I think they're still on T12s.
Yes, we've talked to them. I'm familiar with that. So in our thanks, we just wanted to commemorate this occasion and our appreciation.
Sure. And then Pinky went ahead and had this wonderful little plaque made just to acknowledge the fine work that all of you folks did for us. We appreciate it. And then we also were able to make a small donation to the Ferndale Food Bank as well on the city's behalf and just as another token of our appreciation. We just thought it was another way we could signify it. Because candidly, like Pinky said, I think one of the cool parts is this was a pilot project for Puget Sound Energy's entire service territory and the 11 counties we serve. And so it was really neat that Ferndale could be a great pilot location to be able to do this. And candidly, I think part of the reason, one of the big reasons it was so successful, I think, is because of the city's support and making that happen. So do you agree?
Absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Please leave a card if you could.
Yes, I will. Okay.
All right.
Yes. Can you send it to us? Yeah. Hey, Pinky, can you give your card to the city clerk and he'll make sure we all.
Absolutely.
I have her contact.
You have
it?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I did it in my business and I think the electric bill's going down. And it took us a kind of a struggle because my bill is combined to my rental houses and the business, but it's nice having new lights. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, so we got lots of time, discussion, downtown development fees, community development director.
You have 5 minutes.
Okay. I can probably do it in 5 minutes.
He has no time.
We last talked about downtown development fees a couple of months ago when we were wrapping up the planned action, just after we wrapped up the planned action, where we had heard from several property owners downtown that in order to make a go of it or get the ball rolling for new development downtown, there was the perception that the city's fees, its impact fees, its connection fees, plus in some cases having to mitigate for being within a floodplain, put development at this time beyond what the market could bear, and that in order for the city to realize its stated goal in the comprehensive plan of encouraging downtown development, it was put forward to the council that the connection and impact fees would need to be reduced. And so council discussed that, and there appeared to be some support for that, but then also some questions as far as can we legally do it? What have other cities experienced, in particular the city of Blaine, which, as you know, did away with its impact and connection fees a couple of years ago. And then we wanted to wait until our mayor returned as well so he could participate in the discussion as it came up. So what staff has done, and thanks also to Council Member Mutchler, who reached out to the city of Blaine, what we have done is talk to our city attorney and do some additional research in other jurisdictions. Coming from the perspective of if the stated goal is possibly to eliminate impact and connection fees in the downtown core for a period of time, what do we need to do to get to that point? The answer is that in order to waive such fees, absolutely eliminate them for a period of time, the city could not do that without also eliminating them throughout the city. That the city cannot partition itself in such a way as downtown has no fees, but the rest of the city does. That's something to think about and talk about. That is what the city of Blaine did, the same conclusion that they reached when their hope back a few years back was to incentivize development in their downtown core. In order to do that, they found that waiving connection and impact fees was appropriate, but their city attorney informed them, as our city attorney has informed us, that they would need to eliminate fees throughout the city. As you may have seen through emails that were forwarded to you from city council members from Blaine, that has had not a positive impact on development. Little development has occurred in Blaine. It certainly hasn't spiked since the impact fees were established, and in fact for residential development they have had a declining trend, much more so than the city of Ferndale or the city of Linden. So with that, we're coming back to you to seek possibly more direction or to see, kind of take your temperature. What do you want to do? What would you like the city to look more at? There are ways to reduce impact and connection fees, but it gets back to the philosophy that I think this council has put forward, and that is development should pay their proportionate share of impact. So if you have an impact, then you should pay not a one-size-fits-all payment, everybody pays $5,000, but if you generate this much of an impact, you're going to pay that share. There are a number of different ways that we could accomplish that. Through our traffic impact fee, we can pay for our transportation consultants to determine whether or not development downtown actually generates less traffic than perhaps down at Slater or up at Grandview or some other place because everybody uses Main Street. We've already put in place water and sewer connection reductions, and there are several others, but the point is there is still an impact. People are still using vehicles. They are still flushing toilets, and they are still using water. And the city needs to acknowledge that either by still charging fees, or the city saying that it will utilize taxpayer monies to offset the decreases. We don't expect any sort of decision tonight, and our city attorney has recommended that when you do get to the point of directing staff, that he or his associate also be here to discuss with you to make sure that we don't glom on to a certain way that we want to go, only to find at the 11th hour that there are potential legal challenges. So that's all I have, and I think we were going to have a discussion.
So open discussion. Staff hasn't come to the recommendation. We're looking for council to kind of see what your temper is in terms of the solution you want us to go and research. There's a couple from the audience that want to talk about this tonight. We've got time to do that. So we'll go to council first. Open go. So I think I actually saw Lloyd. I saw you twitch first.
Yeah.
So we'll go Lloyd, Paul, and then Brent.
Well,
and then Mel.
Yori, you know, and Bob Bell will test this, and probably Paul and maybe Mel, but some of these Main Street development workshops we've been to, they have this thing that an overlay. And so if someone does own a property, they get an accelerated depreciation of different things that they may do. And it seems like somehow that might be in the mix, you know. Also, I'd like to throw into the barrel of sign ordinances, you know, because someone, even if it's $200, $300, $400 on signs, I mean, that's a big hit for some of the small business that we want to attract.
Talking to the city attorney, a lot of it comes back to the appearance or the realities of fairness, where if we give a discount, say, to a big box store coming in or that wants to stay in a city, would we give that same discount to the next guy who might have a smaller store or a different store? That there has to be some proportionality as far as what the expectations are. And without a fairly rigorous study, either, you know, focused on transportation or focused on downtown in general, the city doesn't have anything beyond its desire to help development that we can hang our hats on.
Well, it seems like there is a state program that condones, like, this little historic overlay, or it's a, you know, it's a downtown development zone, or
if you're speaking of the Main Street program,
yeah, something along those lines. If we're talking about just the downtown core,
I don't know anything specific about the Main Street program. I think the area to look into, and now I'm speaking out of turn, and I apologize to the others, but I believe there's a historic district.
Yeah.
If you declare it a historic district, and you have to set a date, you have to say the majority of our buildings are before World War II or whatever it might be, then there are some waivers that you can do. I'm not even sure all of what they are.
I have a whole book of it.
The most of that's for the restoration of a historic building. It's not for new construction. And that is going to be a thing that's something to look into. If you want to restore historic buildings, there are programs out there that will allow you to do some things.
To discriminate.
Your fees, yeah. Especially energy. That's
Ingram is next, and Goodrich.
Well, Dory.
Microphone.
I'm a little confused, which is not unusual. You say that we've been told we cannot partition the city for development fees, but we have. We already have petitioned the city for water sewer hookup fees. The farther out you go from the treatment plant, the higher the fees. So how can we do that for water and sewer hookups and not be allowed to do that for other fees?
For the water and sewer hookups, we were able to demonstrate that the proximity to the plant is such that at least the conveyance is more efficient or less expensive to maintain in a closer and more dense environment than out in the outlying areas where it might be a little bit more separate. And so the same in theory, could be done, again, for traffic, where if we demonstrate, for instance, that the planned action area, which has the more substantial cost, we have four roundabouts there, that they would be required to shoulder a higher, heavier burden than perhaps the residential area up on top of the street. It's that the city can't just unilaterally say, we like downtown better than this other area. If there is evidence to support it, that then certainly we can look into that and make those sort of statements. It might not be an absolute waiver. It might not be zero. It might be something more on the order, and I'm throwing out a number. Perhaps we could scientifically say, on average, development downtown generates 70% of the vehicle trips that it would out on Portal Way because everybody's already using Main Street. So that's only a 30% reduction, but it is still a 30% reduction.
Couldn't we use an argument of one type of another on the density of downtown because we're meeting our stated goals of our...
Potentially. Impact fees are slightly different from connection fees, just as far as the different RCWs or Revised Code of Washington's or Washington Administrative Codes that authorize them. So that's another reason why the city attorney is going to be helpful. Because impact fees are considered a tax for system-wide improvements, they might be considered something different than connection fees. And there might also be some nuances where we could treat one a little bit differently. For instance, if we have a whole bunch of parks in one area, we might be able to determine that that area then doesn't need to pay for system-wide improvements because it already exists.
So I'd kind of like to see us at least investigate. I don't want to accept a categoric just a rejection by the attorney saying, no, you can't do that.
Absolutely.
I think there's something we can do, and I'm sure that there is because there's other cities that are doing it. So.
And the attorney's opinion is, yeah, there is some things you can do. The direction you were considering of just, okay, the downtown area is zero, wouldn't stand up if somebody from the outside decided to challenge that. So, Councilperson Goodrich?
Mark had something I think you wanted to throw on there.
Okay.
Just a quick comment. If we were to find a way to justify with proportionality, fairness, and all that stuff to give some kind of water sewer discounts for downtown, we have ongoing costs in the utility funds. Primarily, connection fees pay for capital items, like in our sewer and water comp plans, up to $1 million a year called out if we were to keep that schedule. So it's a little something to consider if we were able to cut connection fees. We still got expenses in those utility funds.
Next up,
I personally, as you folks know, am for lower fees if we can do it. And I think what we need to get is a little better clarification on what we really can consider doing and what we can't consider doing. Kind of this nebulous cloud is kind of hard to have a real good discussion on it because we really don't know what to discuss. The only thing I could see as far as, you know, the downtown area or whatever, I don't know if this comes into play, but let's say I was going to build a five-story condominium project downtown, if it's senior housing versus general housing. I know where I used to live, they did a lot of these, you know, multi-story senior housing buildings. Then I would see you could say lower your traffic impact fees because chances are they're going to be more into using the buses or WTA or some other things where you wouldn't have, you know, the commuting traffic, the people living here and working in Bellingham like they do now. So I don't know if there's a way to differentiate by use above and beyond the normal things. But I think we need to have better clarification on what we can even discuss.
Absolutely. Well, and that is one of the things that we do already have built into almost all of our connection and impact fee ordinances, and that is the Institute of Traffic Engineers has a different category for senior housing, for example. But the applicant always has the ability to come to the city and show, because we're using high-efficiency plumbing, because we have these different fixtures, we're reducing, we're having cost savings of about what we were talking about with the clean energy audit, you know, 30% savings. Downtown development thus far has not, we have not gotten proposals where it's even gotten to the stage of designing the buildings yet. And that might be because the fees are, from various people's perspective, so high that why even bother starting? But once you do go beyond that, we've seen really dramatic reductions where folks say, gosh, we're going to be looking at $200,000 in fees, but then they come in and they might be looking at half of that sometimes because of the way that they're having their buildings act. The other point that I was going to bring up, you mentioned a five-story apartment complex. The question that I would propose to council is, what do you want to see downtown? That is, it is the goal to get any type of development downtown, or is the goal to get certain types of development downtown, catalyst projects that start other developments rolling?
I thought we decided that a 70-story building was legal anywhere. 70-foot tall building. I thought we already determined that.
It is, but because there's a nuance where the city of Linwood has created an exemption where it is something different from being somewhat arbitrary and capricious, and saying if you develop a development that has 30 units, 20 units, whatever mixed-use development, if you develop that, then yes, we, the city, will pick up all or a portion of your impact fees because it is a benefit to the public good, rather than a smaller development that might fall into the clutter a little bit.
Mutzler, Watson, and then back to Zimmerman.
It's one of those, I think I'm kind of being like Lloyd, I'm sort of jumping to something that might not seem related, but I think that it is. When we voted our TIFs on the plan action, I think we came up with three different amounts. We have the plan action TIF, and then we have the rest of Ferndale TIF. But didn't we also say that we would keep downtown at 2,300?
Yes.
And is what we've learned about the Blaine experiment, is that perhaps something we weren't legally allowed to do? We kind of arbitrarily said we're going to have a reduced TIF downtown.
Okay. We were allowed to.
I know we did it, and we wanted to do it. But
because planned action area is more higher.
Sure, I'm just listening to the argument about deciding we can't do certain things downtown just because we want to do certain things downtown. Why not make it zero then? If we could lower it to 23 from 28, whatever it was, why can't we just say make it zero but leave the, you see where I'm going with that? It seems like we're being inconsistent here.
I'll interject because you look at the city of Seattle now, completely different because they have a much more mature mass transit situation. But now, right now in the city of Seattle, if you can prove, say the Gates Foundation, almost a zero traffic impact because they said, look, we're not going to have our employees drive here. We're not going to allow them to drive here. We're going to pay them to take public transportation. And so my daughter gets more money because she walks to work. But the problem is, I mean, so buildings can do that, is their next step that Seattle's looking at is going, you know what, we're just not going to have parking requirements downtown. We've talked about this before, is it's really kind of Bob Bell's problem to decide his parking. He's got to figure it out. And if he wants to build a building with this many spots, okay, that's okay. He's got to figure out what's better for him. So you're kind of on the angle that is under our control. You are.
So let me run that back at you. So if we can say to ourselves, you know, people that are going to come downtown and visit a bakery or something like that, they're already there. We believe they're already there. This is not attracting somebody from Linden or somewhere else. This is people who are already going up and down the streets. We can argue that, then we could reduce the TIFs to zero or whatever. Does that sound valid to you?
I think once you get
that's the only way you can do it.
Zero TIF, you just said zero 4 to 6 p.m. trips. Your TIF would be the same. You just wouldn't be charging money because you're saying they're not making extra trips.
Yeah, exactly. You'd still have to factor. I mean, where the argument is, you still – still have that.
You still have the amount, but you're only charging one instead of 20.
You could do it for public. You say, okay, your public trips are this, but your employee trips.
So what we're both saying is we need to know what our tools are, and it's getting a little difficult here with the planning experience.
Staff can go that direction if you decide to go that.
I
just want to know where we want to send them.
The thing is, the zero is a tough part because it's very easy to demonstrate that it's more than zero, that you do have an impact. And to say zero, it doesn't really pass the giggle test. Now, up above zero, and I'm not saying say one, but up above zero, then you start to get into it is less difficult to demonstrate a negative. Can I actually demonstrate that you every single day generate 20 trips? I know you generate more than zero and less than 100, and the city says you generated 20. Okay, that's reasonable. And where that is.
So what if we have a policy where we say, okay, we use I call it the trip Bible. You call it something else.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the number, 30, 20, whatever it is per 1,000 feet. What if we said downtown core, we're gonna divide it into a third, say. Across the board, whatever the Bible says, it's a third of that in downtown core because we believe the traffic is. Would that be an approach we could consider and get the job done?
You still have to prove it?
The TIF's the same amount. But the number of trips has been altered by our perception of what downtown is about.
Exactly. Not talking about, if you are talking about 33% or 66%, but that would be the direction that staff would recommend doing. Rather than saying that for your TIFs you're paying 50 cents on a dollar, it would be saying you are generating fewer trips than another part of the city. To a place that is, again, reasonable. Where that reasonableness is, we've talked about this with signs, where without the very clear safe harbor known, where a court has said 25% fee reduction in downtown is good, no more, no less, we don't have that. So it is what is reasonable within the context of Ferndale. 80% of our residents travel on Main Street approximately. So it is fairly reasonable that many of our residents travel through downtown anyway.
Okay, so we'll go. I have Watson, Zimmerman, and Olson, and then let's bleed in. We'll start on one person in the audience. We'll kind of move it around. So, Councilperson Watson.
I guess my problem right now is I'm trying to understand what we want downtown to look like. I mean, I have my vision of downtown. I mean, I see it more as a Redmond where there's a lot of people living down there and there's a lot of little shops. But is that what we see for our vision of downtown? I mean, are you talking about new development or refurbishing old buildings? If someone built something brand new, would it have a different impact than someone that takes an existing building and refurbishes it, correct?
In most cases, existing buildings have already paid all or a portion of their impact or connection fees, depending on the future use.
Because okay. I'm uncomfortable not getting the fees only because there's a reason we charge fees. It's because these people actually, when someone new comes to town, if you bring an extra building and there's more water and sewer, we're going to have to pay for that somehow. So we could do it for a short window of time. But I don't want to say that you can always come here and just not pay for anything. Because the bottom line is we have stuff that needs to get fixed. We have a lot of sewer that needs to get fixed. Eventually we'll have to upgrade our water treatment plant. We need to get this money, and we just can't keep paying for things as they come. We need to have money set aside. I'm uncomfortable about the fact that we keep going out for bonds when we need to repair things. We should have a repair fund. And when something needs to be repaired, you take the $500,000 you've been saving for the last 3 or 4 years, and you repair stuff. You don't just keep borrowing money to fix things. I mean, I have a home repair fund. I don't go take out a loan on my house every time something breaks. So I know we want people to come, and I know development will help the city, but we also have to pay for stuff. I'm torn, and I also don't know what kind of downtown y'all want.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yeah. Yori, one of the things that Bellingham has in its toolbox is that they were trying to stimulate downtown residential mixed use, kind of like what you're talking about, and in fact, Charlie Myers, he took advantage of it. He built some apartments in that downtown State Street, Boundary Bay, all those areas. But there's a property tax relief that they did for that area.
Is it 100? We're too small. The state does not authorize us to have that deferment.
And there was a. It was for a period of time.
It's 10-year, I think. 10-year, you don't need to pay property taxes on multifamily.
Only if you're a bigger city?
Only if you're a bigger city.
Mm-hmm. That's so strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Councilperson Olson?
Okay.
Yori, we used the, John called it, I think, or someone, the Holy Grail of trips. And now all of a sudden we're talking about altering the Holy Grail of trips to get a lower figure for downtown.
Well, we've always had that debate, though. I mean, even during that time of the debate was, there's always been that debate of, okay, but trips downtown, if I'm driving through and I pull over to go to a new bakery that's on Alden, am I creating a new trip? I'm driving through and pulling over to go to the bakery. I'm already there.
The better question is, how do we know that? Are we going to have the cops stop everybody? Are we going to use a Ouija board? What's it going to be?
We need higher traffic engineers.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we've hired thank you, Mark. We've hired traffic engineers, and nobody listens to him. They lower his fees that he wants. He says we could are perfectly justified in having, and we whack him in half. So let's spend another $40,000 and waste on that. My point being, if the Holy Book of Trips is what we're going to use, then let's not open Pandora's box and give somebody a break, because then somebody else is going to want a break. And where does it end? I mean, I'm kind of with Kathy. I'm really with Brett, because we're doing all these what-ifs. We don't even know what the hell we can talk about. So we should really have him give us what our options are, organize it out, because there's nothing in here. And then at that point, we can talk about which ones we like the best.
Maybe like
other than
three
that,
options.
We're wasting our time here.
Three legal options that we could...
No, you're kind of giving... Actually, I disagree. You're giving staff some directions. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go first on the list. So, Bob, you're first up, so you're up.
Bob Bell, Springdale Mini Market. For 25 of the 35 years I've been in this community, I've sat on community association committees and so on and so forth, and the major part of those efforts have been for downtown development. And, of course, reasons are, obviously, I own a business downtown. There's nothing I'd love to see more than to see downtown have the restaurants and the coffee shop and the things that I think the majority of the community want. And I sit, and it's real difficult from your standpoint where you're sitting and where I'm coming from to kind of see where we need to bridge this gap. And it's a knowledge thing. I obviously don't have the knowledge that you guys do on how the city works and how what Yori's coming up with and so on and so forth. But I think it gets down to an attitude. Do we want to develop downtown or don't we? And if we do, what is it going to take to develop downtown? And I think the people that are going to spend the money to develop downtown are going to be the developers. It's going to be the small business. It's going to be that restaurant. It's going to be the ice cream shop. They're the ones that are going to come in and spend the money to develop what we want to see downtown. And for that to happen, there's a procedure that we all have to go through. And I'll just give you an example of what I just experienced. I had somebody that wanted to put in an ice cream parlor and a little bakery, 2,000 square feet. And right now the rents downtown are so low that it would be very difficult if there wasn't any impact fees. But I thought, let's take it one step further. Let's go to City Hall and find out what those impact will be on my little 2,000-square-foot building, over $80,000. Well, I couldn't get a bank in the world to loan me the money to build that building because of what the costs are going to be. It all gets down to dollars and cents. Probably why the thing in Blaine didn't work is because obviously there's not a market there for it. I think there's a market here in Ferndale for small businesses to come into downtown. It costs more money to develop downtown because you're in a floodplain. I've heard comments that, well, the developers have paid too much for the property. Well, that's not the case at all. Or the developers, you know, it all has to work. And right now it's not working. And I think it's a shame because I think this community is very unique. And I've lived in a number of different communities in that there's a lot of people that are involved in downtown association, that we've been involved in Ferndale Image Group, these various things, the Main Street program. And what we want is we would like to see it develop downtown. Well, I've chosen to not only invest in some property downtown, not because it was the best place necessarily to invest my money, but because I've been here for 35 years, and this community has given me a lot. And I want to give something back. But I can't give it back in the term of helping develop downtown. And I've spent endless hours on committees and so on and so forth. And it was not, it wasn't for selfish reasons that I was doing it. It was for the simple reason that I think that we need to see development happening. If the city staff and the council were to say, you know something, we want to see downtown develop. We want to see the small little coffee shop. We want to see the little things that we all want to see in downtown. We want to be able to come downtown, park our car, walk around, have breakfast, eat in a nice restaurant, pick up bread or whatever. But you can't do that. And we haven't been able to do it for a long time. The last major development in downtown was me 35 years ago when I put in Alder and Fourth. And I think you have to look at it from that perspective. And I think the thing that isn't happening, am I okay on time? Okay. I think you have to understand that, and I saw the report that came from Blaine. John shared that with me. And they says, well, it was a $600,000 experiment. Well, it wasn't a $600,000 experiment. I think that's the way the city people were looking at it. But that isn't the way it is. Because those eight homes that were built brought in probably about 35 people into the community. And they probably wouldn't have come in, because if you build a house and add $75,000 to the cost of that house, chances are it would have been built somewhere else and they wouldn't have come into downtown. Those people now are paying property tax on those houses. Those people are, any kids that are in that household are bringing $10,000 to $12,000 a year to the public school. They're shopping at the grocery store. They're buying gas at the gas station. They're contributing to the community. And I think that one of the reasons you want this small independent business to come downtown is because they get involved in the community. The Walgreens don't. The Rite Aids don't. The big corporate stores don't. Who gets involved in the community are people like me that own an independent business and are willing to come here and spend the time and make it a better community. And I think that's, I think it's all attitude. I think if the city really wants downtown developed, they'll find a way. But right now what I'm hearing is obstacles as to what, how we can do to make it develop. I think what we need to hear is what can we do to make it happen. So I think it's just a frame of mind. I think it's just an attitude. And I think that in doing your analysis, I think there's something you need to look at, is the money that those businesses will bring to your community. And I think you have to factor that into your cost of your sewer and your impact fees that you're giving up. Because like Gary said, and I've heard him say it many times, zero is zero. And if development isn't coming downtown, you're not getting any help with the sewer systems you have in, or the stormwater systems, or the impacts that you're having on the road. Why? Because they can't come because it's not affordable. It all has to do with dollars and cents. Is it affordable? And it's not affordable. There wasn't a bank that would loan me the money in my little 2,000-square-foot store. And by the way, those people have decided not to come to Ferndale. And there's been other small businesses that have tried. You're successful in getting some corporate stuff out on the freeway, but you're not in downtown. And you don't want the corporate stuff downtown. What you want is the small little independent business. And I think it just comes to a point. It did 10 years ago when Ferndale Image Group came before the council, and the council basically rejected all the ideas that we'd spent 5 years on. And here we are again. Anyway, thank you.
Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. Were you trying to build a new building, or are you trying to develop an existing facility?
Build a new building.
So build a new building?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was it? Can you tell me where it was? I'm just curious.
It's on the property between the police station and Central.
And
it's a 15,000-square-foot piece of property, and to put a 2,000-square-foot retail building there cost me $80,000.
So it'll be new construction. Was that $80,000 for everything, or was that just for
impact fees and hookup fees?
So
and that came from the city. That didn't come from me figuring it out. Yeah. I went to the city. I went in the actually Lamar, my business partner, did. Okay. Just because we wanted to see.
I guess if I could have staff just explain where the $80,000 came from. I'm just curious. I mean,
you
didn't know there'd be a quiz.
I would think that it probably did come from the Bible and the connection fee Bible. What we're doing, and I think I'm not sure when the question was asked, but
about 3 weeks ago.
About 3 weeks ago.
Within the last 30 days.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so it was, okay. What our staff has been instructed to do is to describe it not only in dollars, but in actual trips, because trips and sewer make more sense to the applicant, where a dollar value is, my gosh, that's too high or too low. But if it is described more as, we think that you're going to generate 1,000 gallons of water a day, let's mm-hmm. say, which is probably about what that guesstimate was, no, that's way too high because this is my use, and I can even show you that we're only going to generate 200 gallons a day. Trips, well, we're estimating that you're going to generate 20 trips between 4 and 6 p.m. No, there's no way, and I can demonstrate this to you, that we're going to have a walk-up thing. That is what our staff has been taught, and I sincerely apologize if that was not the information that was provided, because then you have something to work with. Then you can say, you're wrong. There's no way that we can generate what you're saying. Forget about what the dollar value is. I don't have the ability in my drive aisle or whatever to accommodate more than two cars. And then we can start working on that.
I guess, though, it still goes to that debate is, if I'm going to put an ice cream shop bakery downtown, I'm going to consider that because of the traffic count that's there now. Because you're not, that's why they're looking at it. They're going, okay, we've seen this many cars drive by. We hope they can stop and come have this ice cream or whatever it is. And I guess that's that question that we all have to kind of ask ourselves. There's some validity to that. It's coming because all those people are driving by but not stopping. You asked what kind of Ferndale we'd like.
Yeah.
I'd like to not have everybody just drive through Ferndale on drive times. I'd like them to stop and spend some money.
I'd like
them
to live downtown.
They're stopping someplace and spending some money. It's just
hey,
not here.
May I just add, you're spending 84% of the money earned in Ferndale is being spent outside Ferndale. And that has got to change because this community is going to have problems down the road if it doesn't change that.
I'm trying to understand. So most of that $80,000 was because of traffic impact fees?
And hookup fees and so on and so forth. But here, let me just interject and then.
For me, I just need to know.
Okay.
You know, it was like, are we charging you like $75,000 for traffic?
Let's give her tomorrow what your okay. Department.
Because you can't just say, let's get rid of traffic impact.
Well,
because then you realize
probably looked at a commercial project in terms of, it's a lot of different fees. So it'd be a good education for all the council people.
It'd be a nice breakdown
so
that we would understand.
Here's a project, and here's what was proposed. We'd like to make sure that that's an accurate number of the staff.
But so you have to be a little careful about, I mean, I'm going to come back and I'm going to come at you as far as that $80,000. But how many people don't? And how many people leave town and say, we're going to go elsewhere? And I can tell you story after story after story. We've also got local developers that will no longer do business in Ferndale because of the cost. And so I think, anyway, it's just I think you have to take a look at that and decide, what do we want? Do we want to get this stuff downtown? If we do, there's something that would really help maybe the staff and the council is people like Doug Meyer, Ron Peterson, who can sit down and put together numbers for you to tell you exactly what it costs to do a project and what kind of rent you would have to get from that project for that to be profitable. And I think if each one of you understood that, I think we would be having a whole different conversation than we're having.
I can say that I have never seen the mayor as mad at staff as he was when staff gave a very similar answer to what you were apparently given, where mm-hmm. staff has been instructed as clearly as you can believe not to give those answers, that those are BS answers, and that's not the way that the city does business or should do business.
Yeah, but don't I have to be, if I'm going to do business in town, can't I have to be able to go into the city and say, how much is it going to cost me to do business? And
you're giving the right answer.
Right. Well, I mean, those are real-world answers. There's a business that's no longer interested in coming to Ferndale because of it. And so anyway, but I think it's an attitude. I really do. I think it's just a matter of do we want it or don't we? And I think that there's a lot of people that have put a lot of energy in this over the years. And I understand the other side, but.
Okay, I have Councilperson Goodrich and then Ingram.
I just was going to touch on one thing that Bob said. I hear that at EDC meetings, too, is the banks' involvement in the things. And, when these developers go out to look for money, one of the things they look at is the fees and all of that stuff. So it's not just one fee. It's not just a tip. It's the whole package thing. And when they plug it all into to the thing is whether or not the banks even will go along with it. Unless somebody has lots of money and wants to donate and build things out of their own pocket, then that's a different story. But when you're
it seems like right now the banks are tight with money, and we hear that a lot at the EDC meetings. But in answer to your question, Councilmember Watson, as far as what I would like to see downtown, is I personally don't want to see five-story buildings downtown. To see what buildings we have now, like Babes and some of these others, nuked and have a five-story building, because the only way you're going to build something big is to take a whole block. Because our blocks are so small, to build a big enough building, to think you're going to take everything from the street, you know, first to second, or second to third, or you know, whatever, to there. And I saw that happen where I used to live, where the quaintness of the downtown went away because they came in, bought up a whole block, bulldozed everything down, and now they have big multi-story buildings there. And you lose that. If you want to maintain the small town atmosphere, you can't have the big modern new buildings. Because you look, you know, the quaintness, the old-fashionedness, the things that attracted a lot of us to Ferndale will go away. You just can't do it when you build a big box and maintain that, the older feel. And so that's, I'd rather see smaller, in the core areas, smaller things, and then the bigger developments that come up on the Vista and things. And, you know, expand that area out and let Vista be the place where we put the bigger buildings and keep the downtown, the more the historic, quaint, you know, type of developments. But unfortunately, our zoning doesn't, in some respects, to go north on Vista seemed to have been looked at negatively by here. And we wanted to build everything on Main Street and ignore Vista. And that's where the council has been kind of going. I just don't understand that aspect myself.
Councilperson Ingram?
Just a little thing for Yori to consider. I have never owned a bakery, but I've hired a lot of bakers. And every successful bakery that I know of is closed by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't want yesterday's donuts for breakfast. You want today's. You want to go down to that bakery when he's opens his doors at 5 a.m. And he's been there since 1. And he's been baking, and you want that stuff hot out of the oven. You don't want yesterday's stuff. So they close at 3. So when it comes to 4 to 6 p.m. peak trips for a bakery, unless he's an idiot, there are none.
Good point. So I'll just change one direction. This was a quote from a city council person when we were struggling to vote to build the Riverwalk. And his quote was, I hope this Riverwalk gives us a future where we have more development that by the city spending money for the Riverwalk, we'll have more development up and down First Avenue. But obviously that council person that's sitting there on the mayor's chair was I was hoping it would, but it certainly hasn't happened. Okay, we have one more from the audience that signed up. Lamar, do you want to come? You know, you kind of jumped forward, but you didn't get a chance to talk. So.
He got excited for a minute.
Don't catch any glare on those legs.
Lamar McKay, I'm one of the owners of the Interfaith Building. I have some various properties here. And I love Ferndale, and I'd love to see it developed like a lot of you would, especially downtown. I think one question that this council has to ask themselves, do you want to see downtown grow? I mean, I think there's some people here that really just don't care. But I think the majority of you do. And you almost need to vote on that, because you have to realize that some people here just don't care if it grows or it just stays the same for the next 30 years. But most of you, the majority, I think, do. And if you do, you can find incentives or some ways to make it happen. It's just a matter of desire. It's just like if you want to lose weight, it's just a matter of desire to push that food away. And if you want to see downtown grow, you've got it. You can find incentives. You can find ways to do it. It's just a matter of having the desire to do it. I mean, I've got a lot of reasons, lots of reasons here why I was going to say, give you reasons why we should charge impact fees, but I'm not going to go there because it just boils down to having desires to see downtown grow. And I think the citizens of Ferndale want that to happen. They all would like to have Yori's wife would like to see an ice cream shop here. There's different people that would like to see a bakery. A lot of people want to see a sandwich shop. There's different people that want to see different things in our community. And people worry about their growth. Some people don't want a five-story building. Some people want
right now, I don't know about you, but I'd love to see anything. It'd be nice to say pick and choose, but right now, if we do have a few buildings to come in or a few some growth, maybe I think that would inspire other people to come in if they see some growth in downtown. That would get that ball rolling because some business would say, wow, these guys are making a success out of it here. But right now, we don't have anybody doing anything. So thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Ms. Kristen Watson.
Why do you think no one's doing any development with our current buildings? Because we've got several buildings that are just sitting there empty. And I'm just
I think they have still have an impact fee if they're changing what they're doing. It's going from a insurance agency to a coffee shop. I think there's an impact fee on that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times there's certain centers that haven't kept up with their standards. So maybe maybe partially they're to blame too.
Okay.
It's a little bit of everything. But they're also for the new. We have a lot of vacant land out there that can be developed, and people do get excited about having a new location, and let's say across from Central Elementary or across from something else, they would love to see that happen, and they want a certain size building, and that might not be what they're looking for, you know, also.
Do you think we should focus on the new development first, and then the rest of Main Street will fix itself up with
more people?
No,
I think you've got to do both at the same time. You know, I mean, you surely, if someone wants to move into an old building, you really want to encourage them. I mean, that's fine. That's great if it can happen. And we were so fortunate to be able to fix the Interfaith building up, the medical building, and
mm-hmm.
get Interfaith. We were just overjoyed, and the city was happy, too. It was a big, good thing for the city of Ferndale and for us. I mean, right now, if Interfaith wants to expand, I think they got an impact fee, which I'm sure they wouldn't be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you've got to look at the whole picture. And, you know, and like I said, if you want things to grow and things to happen, you just got to give an incentive. You just got to say, we want downtown to grow. We don't want it to be like the same 30 years from now or, you know, just have a desire. I'm not sure. I think people, the citizens of Ferndale, would like to see it grow, would like to see things happen. And you represent the citizens of Ferndale. In all honesty, I think you've got to, if you're honest, you've got to say, we've got to do something to make incentives, whatever it takes to get downtown to grow. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I know there are a lot of them that you can come up with. Other communities across this nation have had their downtown grow. You know, it's not, we got a lot of vacant land that can be built. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Council, I think we kind of have a direction. It's probably not the wisest thing. We've heard from our legal counsel what we can't do, and that's great. I remember as a mayor, and Greg Young sat down and showed me the manual. He has a manual for city managers. And the very first line is, his primary job focus his primary job focus as city manager is to keep the city council and mayor from getting into too much trouble. And it's like, okay, we know what we can't do, but I'm not so sure that our legal counsel is the best thing to ask what we can do.
No, there are
other sources where we can go to say, what can we do? And then let us come back with some proposals there with the proposal of, okay, we've learned what we can't do. We've researched that. We know we can't do a blanket thing without
I'm just curious what other cities have done. Are there other cities that have taken us, you know, because it doesn't work for blanket.
There are some ideas. I mean, certainly there's loan programs and everything, so let's see what we can do. Councilperson Mutcher and then Goodrich.
So I guess the next time we come back together to talk with us, I'd like to know what we can do. Say the hypothetical $80,000. If we can't get that to zero, and I'm not expressing my viewpoint on this because I really honestly don't know yet because of the ramifications of this, but what can we do? And we've got traffic. We've got water, sewer. I don't think parks don't apply to commercial. Schools don't apply. I'm forgetting some, Yuri, but what can we do and can't we do? I'm still not quite sure. The other thing I want to say, I think we have to decide this because I do know there will be developers that are going to kind of sit on the sidelines waiting for us to act. And if they think council might reduce everything, I'm not going to do anything until they move. And that's we talked about that before. So I like to have this expedited. Otherwise, I can see a developer, I'm going to hold tight because they might reduce everything or eliminate everything. So this has to be dealt with. Soon, from that perspective.
Customers Goodrich, then Watson.
One of the things I think Lamar brought up, and I don't know if we can do this, is a reduction because of the floodplain. Because they're building in a floodplain, it's it's more expensive to build a building in that area. They have to do other things. Can we help offset that at all and use that as a way to lower any of the fees and things? And the other thing is, in conjunction with fees, I don't know, neither one of them brought it up, but I'd be curious to see design standards such as parking and things like that, if we could ease up something in the design aspect that would equate to a financial savings to the developer, so it's not just cash, but it's also in through the designs.
I can actually answer both of those right now. The council has come up with the design or has approved the design. The council could lighten up on design standards or parking standards. That's absolutely something the city can do. As far as giving incentives due to the floodplain or other conditions, as we were talking before, are they going to pay less fees per trip, or are they going to generate less trips? It might come out to the same dollar value, but it's a huge distinction, because if the city is saying we are going to pay 30 cents on the dollar because you're in the floodplain, it could be argued that the city is gifting public funds, which the city cannot do, compared to if the city were to say it, because of where you're located, you happen to generate less trips, that is something that, you know, the Bible has been amended, or we have looked more closely at it. That's not a gift of public funds. It's that there is simply less of an impact. It might get us to that same location, and that's really where the attorney was trying to navigate us around, saying, do not gift public funds. Do not. That's put it in a lockbox, throw it in the river, and let it float down. But looking at other, you know, more scientific reviews of things where you can substantiate that this is not a gift of public funds, but it is rather because there's less impact, go for it, he said. And I think that is the extent of the legal guidance he can really give us. It's not his idea to come up with ideas. His idea is to keep us away from the big obstacles. It's ours to come up with ideas and to see what other jurisdictions have done. And so we have 3 weeks until our next council meeting, and we can come up with a good idea.
Floodplain, we have no jurisdiction over floodplain issues.
We have no jurisdiction. We have protected the floodplain, I think, more than a lot of jurisdictions last year. We probably can't go more than that, at least right now, in the political climate we have.
Councilperson Watson?
Is the Planning Commission going to be involved? And also, is it possible to get a second opinion from an attorney, perhaps the AWC attorney who came to speak to us about what we can and can't do?
The impact fees?
And the impact
fees?
No,
that's
zoning?
That's pretty locked in by everyone.
Okay. And the Planning Commission, are they going to be involved?
They're not involved in fees.
Just fees.
If it was design, yes. Fees, no.
So we're not going to discuss zoning, because Mel had mentioned the historical district aspect. Doing a zone.
Well, let's see what we come up with, and then we'll give you kind of a menu, and then you guys can decide, you know, okay, maybe what direction. But I think you've given staff a direction to find out what we can do.
Okay. And it would help to have a breakdown of the fees. Like, if I was a developer, just give me an idea of the kinds of fees so that we could talk about what do we feel comfortable playing with, basically.
Yeah, we'll do like a standard development. I mean, because some of you probably haven't ever dealt with that. It is amazing. It doesn't matter what the project is, from, you know, doing a minor plumbing job, you're like, ooh, that's getting expensive.
Yeah.
Councilperson Mutchler.
I think I'm going to only answer, but we want retail downtown because there's sales tax dollars. It's helpful to us. We don't get sales tax dollars for law offices and piano teachers and all sorts of things. We don't get sales tax dollars for residential. And there's value in all that stuff. Can there be a policy, some kind of fee policy that incentivizes retail development? That does bring benefit to the city.
Boy, that's a big debate because, John, you weren't here. I mean, we had that debate before. And I think even the developers here can tell you that it's kind of a big circle. Is if you build it, they will come. But if they're there, then there's a need. I mean, certain businesses would not survive in Ferndale right now, because nobody's walking around. kind of like, you know, it's that's centuries old. You know, business below, people up above. You know, go to Europe and it's not like there's a new concept. But there's a reason for it is the street side's valuable, but you want the people up above because you want to create the market. And so that, boy, and we had that discussion where we wanted to encourage, I don't think any one of these developers would argue that you'd want to have people living downtown. So they, you know, so, yeah, the guy pulls over and gets the donut, but he'd really like it where, okay, the guy gets his donut, and then the guy walking two doors down, that doesn't affect us at all. That's a good thing. The guy's already here. He walks down and buys a dozen donuts. So, I mean,
but
we
eliminated the FAR, which was supposed to move things upstairs.
Well, no, because realistically, we're not going to see density increase downtown until the market is there that makes it feasible. I mean, it doesn't matter what Brent thinks or you think until he decides, ooh, this is a good place for me to build density, and it pencils out, then that's great. And we don't decide that. But, you know, developers decide that.
Well, and ironically, if Scott were to develop or someone else were to develop residential downtown, then the commercial benefits as far as their impact fees, because they could say, our customers are that guy up here and that guy across the street, and they're not driving, they're walking to my business. And having that, you know, captive audience for residential, that captive market, gosh, you know, if you want to know my opinion, sometimes you've asked and I haven't really told, getting residential downtown. I mean, you know, look at the city of Bellingham. They are – downtown Bellingham really struggles between June and August because Western's out. They've got 15,000 people that aren't there anymore. But when it comes back, that's a really vibrant place. The farmers market has helped tremendously because it's got people there who are walking. That's powerful. That's why you have people go after stadiums and things like that, because people are walking.
It's still a battle. I mean, we have our own little battle where people love it. The guy remodeled just across the street. Mm-hmm. And there's people above there now. But those people drive cars. So now we have an argument. Oh, they're parking on Main Street. Okay. And so far it's been pretty good. The landlord goes, did you talk to your tenants and have them park on 2nd or 3rd around? Not park on Main Street. Okay, but
they have dogs.
It's a cost. And then we have the dogs. And then they decided to use the deck as a party place. And, okay, great. They plug the drains with a pop bottle. So we give a direction to staff. We'll move on. Next one on the agenda is the council rules of procedure. And I'll throw that to our esteemed city clerk.
Council, this is a fairly simple change. The council rules of procedure provide for the public comment, basically regulations. Currently, the way we do it, as has been demonstrated this evening, is all items that are not on the agenda are given at the beginning of the meeting. That time is currently rarely used, it appears. And any item that is on the agenda, we have public comment within the meeting itself. We're the only jurisdiction that I know of that does this. Particularly in Whatcom County, I guarantee we're the only ones, but across the state, I don't know of any others, and I know a lot of clerks these days. Basically, what the change will do is provide all public comments, except for public hearings, which are a different formal official procedure. All public comment would go at our official public comment right there at the front. This is designed for meeting efficiency so that we can ensure that we're trying to get out of here. Council members have expressed some concerns about the length of our meetings. And we're trying to find a menu of options in terms of streamlining that. So that's the basic change. This is an ordinance form. So like any of our ordinances, it takes 5 days for effect. So if it was approved, it would not be effective till the next meeting.
Councilperson Olson, then Watson, Mutchler, Zimmerman.
So if they talk at the beginning on something other than public hearings, they're not going to get to talk again?
The intent is that the rest of the meeting is designed for council deliberations.
I heard what you're saying, but I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying.
I can't answer that because I'm not the chairperson.
I see.
He hears exactly what you're saying.
Okay. Thank you for the translation.
Yes.
Because that is a genuine problem, Chair. We set timers, and we don't give a damn about the timers. Is this going to actually make things
better or worse. I have a feeling it'll make them worse.
If the rules of procedure are stuck to, where all public comments at the beginning of the meeting and not allowed during the middle of the meeting,
I
believe it will streamline the meeting.
Look at you.
I believe it will make it more efficient.
Perhaps we should employ Bo as a sergeant of arms.
Yes.
Stump
yes.
the chair.
I second He's, that. We'll,
seriously, though, I don't know if I'm going to go for this because I don't know if it's going to work because we don't pay attention to the rules we have. And I'm not trying to cut off debate. It's just if we're going to have it, then fine. Once one bite of the apple is what you get.
Yeah, I don't think, and I agree with you, I don't think the intention here is to cut off public discussion at all.
No, just where to channel it.
Yeah, right. In effect, what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you get the information in a more timely manner. Oftentimes I see, especially in all jurisdictions, I see...
It's just not the chair either. There are those of us up here that give other people second bites by asking them questions.
And that's what I was going to say was, it's almost a repeat of the information they've already said. And sometimes that happens with the council, too. Sometimes the council repeats themselves. So it's everyone in concert working together can make the meeting more efficient. So we're trying. I'm proposing this change as part of that process, but I believe there are other things, and I think we should keep talking about it.
Okay, we have lots of opinions on this. Probably all of you will weigh in one way or another. So Councilperson Watson, you're next.
I'm willing to give it a try to see what happens. But I'm curious, what would have happened with our current discussion? Would you have allowed them to come and do the back and the forth, or would they just come up at the beginning and we would have done our two or three other things and then that would have been it for them? We would have just had to base it on whatever we remembered them saying.
Let's take notes.
The one factor that we do differently that really adds, it's contrary to your opinion, it's not the 3-minute or if we add a 2-minute comment period. Where we get into time is that we do it differently, and I really don't see it. I think it's kind of neat that we do it, but I can understand why it extends, is that you're, as a council, allowed to ask people questions. Mm-hmm. And that's what adds to it, because then the clock goes off. So you're exactly correct there, is if you're going to go that and you want to streamline the meetings, then you're going to do some self-policing, or what I'll do is I won't turn to the council and there's a speaker there. You don't get to ask your questions because that's really what extends it. If you look at the times where you've had a problem, it isn't been their 3 or 5 minute comment period.
And I guess for me, I actually do like that interaction. I do because I feel like if someone has taken the time to come, whether you would disagree with them or not, I like asking them questions and I like them being able to speak to us. But yet I also feel like things go really, really long sometimes. Well, so I'm torn as well.
Yeah, the other option is that people, you write down their name and go, okay, if I have questions, you're going to do it outside of council meeting.
Okay.
So you don't open up for a debate. Other councils don't do that. They say there's the public comments, and there's no debate right away with the council. It's like, okay, thank you, sit down. And then if you're going to contact me, you're going to contact me later. So.
Okay, so you basically won't be asking us, do we have questions?
Correct, and that's what happens at other councils, too. For instance, Whatcom County, which I believe is what he's alluding to, Barbara Brenner frequently would like to engage members of the public who are trying to publicly comment in a longer debate or try to have a debate with the council about what they've said. And the chairperson of that meeting, who is another council member, basically says, Barbara, please get in touch with that person so you can meet with them separately.
But if we're making a decision that night, that doesn't help you.
Correct. I'm talking about the beginning public comment where they're just talking about some random issue.
But they made the hard, fast rule. We're not going to have debate.
For instance, last week you had a gentleman request, or one meeting ago, you had a gentleman specifically request you for a zoning and text amendment related to RV parks. And there was almost a full public hearing debate during the public comment session about an issue that was not in front of you that evening. It would have been very much more simple to say, we're going to refer it to committee and continue to talk about it there. That's the type of stuff we can self-police that we're not.
Well, just
that one was more difficult because the mayor wasn't here and I couldn't
kick him. Talk about it in committee? Because I want you to feel free to, and rather than letting us, because we were like, well, he's got a problem, can we solve it? Because that's just kind of how the group
is.
It's
a fine balance between trying to hear from the public and...
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
back to councilperson Goodrich, Zimmerman, Mutzler, back to Hanson. Did I miss you, Paul?
I'm opposed to this for several reasons. One is I get very upset with this idea we have to be out of here by 9 o'clock. We are elected by the people to do the city's business, and sometimes that's going to run longer. Yeah, we do some things occasionally where we extend the meetings longer than that. But what really irks me is when we have staff here to do a presentation, it comes 9 o'clock and the council votes, nope, we're going to go home. We only meet 24 times a year for 3 hours at a time. Very rarely do we really go over. We haven't much this year, I don't think, had to extend the sessions very often. To me, I see it by some extent a little bit of whining by some of the council members, the fact that, oh, we can't go beyond 9 o'clock. I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning at work at 6. And I'm like today, I moved two apartments. I had to move in the building. Yeah, I would love to go home at 9 o'clock, but if the business isn't over, I was elected to do the business, not to look at my own personal self, say, yeah, I'm a little tired, I'd like to go home, let's shut down and forget about the other items on the agenda that we haven't covered. So I like the interaction with the public. I like when we're dealing with a topic, be able to have the public come up and talk about that topic if we so desire it. Because I think if you throw everything at the beginning of it, 2 hours later, we're not going to remember what Bob Bell said at 6 o'clock when we're at 8:30 discussing that topic. And not to be able to have that interaction with the public, I think that's one of the things that makes Ferndale different and unique and better than some of the other cities, is to be able to have that chance to talk to the people.
Mr. Zimmerman?
I'd have to agree with these two in that when you hear it in a timely manner, it's more in context because there's information that we throw out and they throw out, and I think it's a better exchange of information, and we can always refer back to council if need be. But I just think it makes it more dynamic, and we can compare ourselves to other councils, but we compare ourselves to Blaine. But hey, they ain't got a lot going on. We've got stuff going on. I mean, Mayor Brecht has projects, and various people does, and some do, and I don't see it as a problem that's so problematic that we got to fix it. I don't see it change it. So
staff brings direction from council. So Sam's only bringing forward on suggestions.
Okay, I'm completely indifferent on this.
Council person, Mutchler,
I think it would make it more efficient, but it's up to you.
Yeah, council person Mutchler than Hanson.
Yeah, I was the one that brought this ordinance to finance and admin, so I'd like to make a motion to adopt it, and if there is a second, I'd like to make another statement. I think this will, I like this for two reasons. I do think it will shorten the meetings, and I also think it provides for a clearer avenue for our citizens to speak. I think they're very clear as to when they are to speak, and it's at the beginning. And I also want to make a comment to the mayor that I personally would rather err on the side of letting people speak. And it occurred to me that most citizens will speak to us perhaps once in their lives. Let's use the property owner 2 weeks ago. I doubt if she ever spoke here before, and I doubt if she'll ever speak here again. And so once in her life, she will speak to the City Council of Ferndale. I'm here 24 times a year, talking my head off as much as I want, but they're here one time. And if sometimes they go over the 3 minutes, I'm totally okay with that. I don't think I've ever complained about leaving after 9 o'clock. So, yes, I agree with Councilmember Olson. Sometimes we do go too long, but I'd rather err on too long than feel like a citizen got cut short when they had something they thought was really important. So I'm in support of making this change in our procedures.
Hanson?
Well, I'm opposed to this. And tonight's a good example of that. Both Bob Bell and Lamar reacted to the staff report and to council discussion when they got to that microphone. They did not come up. They had a plan. We kind of know what that plan would have been, but it got changed as a result of the discussion that took place among the council. If you want to get out of here early, I got a really good idea. Put a 3-minute timer on each council person when they speak.
There you go.
Because anything beyond 3 minutes is BS anyway.
Is that a motion, Councilmember?
No.
Are you going to amend this?
Council
Councilperson Ingram. Try to top that one, will you?
Well, as one of the chief whiners of this group, I get my back up when we let the meeting get out of control. That's when I say no to extensions. When we've sat here for 3 hours letting people ramble on for 25 to 30 minutes at a time at that microphone because council members just have to ask questions, and once they do, the clock goes out the window. That's when I get upset. And I tell you, if anybody who's been on this council for any length of time, this is going into my fifth year, how many times that we have had people in the audience who have signed up on that sheet to talk on the subject. And when the time comes for them to talk, they raise their hand and go, no, you answered all my questions, I'm good with that. They get their information when we discuss it. And if we let them get up and talk at the start of the meeting and drag it out then, they're not getting information from us, and the information they get from us could well satisfy their questions.
Somehow I see an amendment or a different motion in there. Councilperson Olson?
I, as the second in command of whining, I disagree with most of what Brent said. It's not about whining. It's about stuffing the agenda with too much garbage. And we brought it to Greg's attention. And when you do, I'll have to say Greg is very good about, okay, you're right, you know, maybe there is going to be a lot of discussion on that, because he doesn't hear everything that we hear. But sometimes, and he's been very good, I'll have to say, by this term, began in November, he's been a lot better than he was in the last term, if bringing it up and asking him, hey, you know, this is going to be big, let's get rid of some of the other fluff. So, we haven't really had to deal with any of that kind of stuff. It is going to come up again come budget time because there's going to be people that talk too much. So that's what, a couple months? Mm-hmm.
Month and a half.
But I would be willing to it doesn't sound like it's going to pass, but I would be willing to give it a shot and always change it again.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I just forgot to mention one thing, too, in my previous comment. At committee, I made the suggestion that when we have staff here for reports, that staff reports comes agenda item C right after the consent agenda. It is absolutely ridiculous for us to bring our staff in here and have them sit out there in that audience for three and a half hours to give a staff report that takes 2 minutes. And when they have to drive, like, how far does Wendy have to drive to get home?
Mount Vernon.
Yeah. I mean, hello. Put them first. Let them have their say and go eat dinner. And I think that's just common courtesy.
Okay, I have a motion and a second, and the motion is to approve what's before you. So that would put all public comments at the first of the meeting and also add a layer in. But that's not a, was that the layer of not asking questions report was, would be.
That's not really included. It's just if public comments at the beginning, we're not supposed to be inviting them up during the rest of the agenda.
Yeah, because I'm hoping this passes, I still think there's the freedom for a council member to say, you know, Mayor, may we ask so-and-so, I think we need to ask him this question at that time. It doesn't say we can't do certain things. And I realize that has to be done thoughtfully and so on and so forth. But, I still think this is a helpful service to council to do this.
Okay, so motion is moved and seconded. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of this move signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Appears to be that the motion fails. Councilperson Mutchler?
I think there is a rather innocuous change in the rules. I think we could pass tonight. Would you remind me what that was, Sam? It was. I think
very,
we can get
the
that.
More basic change was simply on the order of business itself. In the council rules procedure, we have the consent agenda being approved or considered prior to public comment. That's not the way we actually do it. We do public comment first to allow people the opportunity to potentially speak on consent agenda items, and then we have consent. So I had reordered it in this ordinance. I forgot to mention it because it was so basic, and I actually thought this was going to get approved pretty easily. Guess not.
I would like to make a motion to make that change. We're doing this anyway. If you could.
Say that back to us.
So
please.
The motion is to reorder the order of business in the council rules procedure, providing for the consent agenda to be considered after public comment.
Which is what we're doing anyway.
Question then? You also have text in here that just involves what comments are and about the three people.
I mean, all of that remains because you killed the motion. You killed the ordinance.
All that remains.
Everything that was in that I struck out still remains council rules procedure.
Okay, so none of the way that you cleaned up is going to be.
No.
Okay.
The only.
Because there were several things that happened in this. It wasn't just proving that. He also cleaned up what public comments are and how much time you can speak. So there was a lot of other
stuff. My motion
was
for the whole thing, so it's all gone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There, okay. All that other stuff was more basic. I mean, we still provide for 3 minutes of public comments and all that. That's still in the. What I struck out is still all in there.
You just cleaned it up a lot.
Did some cleanup. Well, we're doing a larger full council rules procedure cleanup right now as well.
Okay.
That I have been trying to work to get back to you. So that stuff will be included in that.
Okay.
Councilperson Goodrich? Do we have a motion on the floor right now?
We have a motion
for a second.
Not a second.
Well, I didn't hear the motion.
Say the motion again.
The motion is that we're going to correct our rules and procedures that were passed out to the audience. It says that consent will come after public comment. Which is what we're doing anyway. We've just got it reversed in the handout. It's pretty innocuous, and it just makes us consistent with our practice.
I can second.
My question then is, would it be better to send this back to committee to bring back one at the next council meeting with your cleanups, all the cleanup little issues in it other than the public, the comment things? Because, there were some other things you said that you cleaned up in the procedures. Would it be better just to bring it back all nice and clean next time?
I would defer to council on that. I don't
versus
see
just doing this one change now,
Well, if he's cleaning up all of our procedures, this could just be part of his generic cleanup of everything. And then he'll bring it back to clean.
Yeah, the one motion that John's made just basically legalizes what we've been doing anyway.
Yeah.
The only other change that I really made that's of substance is that the mayor actually does not have the power under regular public comment to provide an additional 2 minutes of speaking time to a member of the public, which we routinely do. I actually added that in since it was what we've been doing. I added it into the procedure and then was going to allow you to debate it.
We don't have enough time.
We don't have 2 minutes to do.
If you could provide me 15 minutes of presentation time, I'd appreciate that. I have a PowerPoint as well.
Well, I was being a little facetious when I said put the clock on the council. I'd like to see a committee discussion on when questions are going to be asked of the people at the microphone and when questions aren't going to be asked. I mean, we don't ask questions in a public hearing, or do we?
Yeah, you sometimes do.
Okay.
It's not necessary.
But one of the Robert's rules that's not always followed is that everyone on the council gets to speak before anybody gets to speak a second time. We don't follow that. And then people get upset because somebody else got picked, and they've already spoken, and they've taken more than 3 minutes. And maybe the solution to a lot of this is to ourselves not enjoy listening to ourselves. Because a lot of that's what's going on. We like to listen to ourselves pontificate about things that we think we know.
I like to listen to you too, Mel.
We are our own representatives. We're the ones who chat.
So is that your direction staff to put
in
committee?
I'm sort of agreeing with Brent. Take the whole thing back to committee, and let's have a discussion at the committee level about cleaning up
how we operate the meeting. So that would be a motion to table John's
motion to refer this to committee.
Yeah,
we
got a second on John's.
So
we have
I would move to refer this back to committee for the reasons that I just
said. But still agree to vote on John's?
No. The motion to refer to committee supersedes the motion to vote.
I'll second that.
Okay.
So
I would speak to that one issue. If we're doing it this way anyway, we can continue for another couple of meetings to do not what's on the agenda.
So to move a second and move this issue back to committee. Everybody's clear on that? Further discussion on that? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, back to committee. Easy one.
Mel?
What's that?
It died.
Did you close the mini blind behind you? The sun glare. You're finished. Just a. Yeah. Thank you.
I thought he has to agree to let his die. Or
no, he, the motion to refer to committee supersedes him, just a regular motion on the floor.
We
killed him.
We can crush him just by sending it back to committee.
Okay, so he doesn't have the right field question.
Technically, he can't, only on public hearings.
And he's not public.
You weren't working with the paper? Didn't you record on this?
Killing it.
It really would.
Thank you, Mel. Okay, ordinance, impact, connection fee, payment, deferral, sunset, provision, agreement. That's a heck of a long.
Good luck, Dory.
Get back to us, Yuri.
All right, so no. I'll finish by 7:31. We're not proposing any text changes. The ordinance would extend it until December 31st. This is not a fee discount. It does not change the amount of fees that are paid. Fees don't vest until they're paid. Done.
Councilperson Ingram.
I put a lot of thought into this, believe it or not, over a very, very, very busy weekend. I don't see why we put a sunset on this at all. I say we make this ordinance. This is the way we do business. Come back in 3 years or whatever, if Yori comes to us and says, guys, you're burying me with the extra work. You saying it's, what, 20 minutes per permit, basically?
And getting less as we get more familiar.
Then why do why sunset it at all? Just make it, this is the way Ferndale does business, period. The program is out there. If you choose to take advantage of it, good. If you choose not to take advantage of it, that's your business choice. But why should we put a sunset on this?
Do I hear a motion in there?
Yes, I will make a motion that we extend this program indefinitely.
Second.
Okay, moving second. Further discussion. Councilperson Watson and Wilson.
From a financial standpoint, from Mr. Peterson, is there a financial standpoint with a money issue, you know, getting the money only half of it at one time? Does that matter to the city?
Just in the front end.
Okay.
The front end's behind us.
We get to have a default.
Okay, technically.
We get to have a default in a situation.
I'm just wondering from a cash flow standpoint, because we're not getting all of our money up front. We're getting it.
We already experienced a decline in our initial cash flow.
Okay.
Now, as we have new people coming in, old people paying off, I'm saying there's no impact for future.
Okay.
The impact would only be if we had a total default.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did have an initial impact when people started paying half versus paying whole. That's kind of like last year. So it's immaterial for future.
Okay.
Okay, and Councilperson Olson and then Metzler.
You're scaring me. You're taking my ideas. But besides that, what I worry about is what I'll affectionately call the Braithwaite Amendment.
You're so mean.
If somebody does to go halfway and then comes up in front of us and threatens us with, if you're going to do that, then I'm not going to do this, and you're not going to, what's going to happen to that second payment if they don't complete their stuff? Then we're out half of it.
Totally no final inspection. The difference would be we would not do a final inspection, and because they must pay before they request a final inspection. So if they want to shoot themselves in the foot by not getting their building, they also are hurt by it too.
But if we do it in stages, like Siddle, what's to prevent that from cropping up there?
The way that it's written is it's 50%, where it would take council action to bifurcate it further.
Yeah.
Where it's you pay half at issuance and half prior to your request for final inspection. Staff cannot say, tell you what, we'll do a quarter, we'll do it thirds.
No, I'm not. I think I'm worried about not getting the second half, not breaking out even further. I know you're not going
to
do that.
You're saying you want to change his plans, and I'm not going
to
give you
to assure that we'll get the second half.
For the treasurer.
They can occupy that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not unlike, Yuri, help me with this, certain impact fees are paid half at what, preliminary plat?
Final plat.
Okay. People people have gone out of business. I mean, have we ever foregone the second half of some of those fees?
No, there are fees out there from 15, 16 years ago when we first did our initial impact fees that the lots have not been built upon. There was actually City of Bellingham, I believe, just had a case decided in their favor when the fees increased because they paid half or didn't pay half or had a promise of paying a certain amount. They waited a certain number of years. The fees increased. They had to pay it. They're still on the hook. So if that is to be the case where someone defaults or what, it still hangs out there, and we have that on the books. And I would need to check the ordinance to see, but I believe that if someone were to pay their fees, make a certain amount of progress, but then not enough for someone could come in and restore the building, I believe they might be out those fees, at least their connection fees.
Okay. Well, I don't support open-ended stuff, so I would give it a shot till the end of the year, but forever without knowing where this is going, no way. I won't.
Councilperson Metzler?
I'd like to speak in favor of Councilmember Ingram's motion, and looking out in the audience, I see three contractors who I believe, and they could speak under the current rules and the future rules, I believe, but I think they would say they've either been helped by this program or they would like to be helped because they weren't aware of it, and more would like to do it. Even though I think we learned that less than half developers have taken advantage of it, that means some are taking advantage of it. Last, I just want to mention, we don't have any impacts on the city until people move in. I mean, they're not using water and sewer until they sell the house. They're not using the streets. So even from a practical point of view, but you're not having the same type of impacts until people actually move in. So I'm in favor of this motion wholeheartedly.
That's Mr. Goodrich.
I'm in favor from the point of view that I think it sends a positive message to developers that we in Ferndale want to help you develop, because that's what we want. We want new homes built. We want new multifamily built. We want new commercial or whatever built. And if we can do something that gives them a more positive thing that they know that, yeah, we're near the end of building season, not a whole lot's going to be started, I don't think, unless you guys argue it. You know, we're getting near the end of building season, so to say, well, gee, it's going to expire at the end of the year, that's not – may not help anything, whereas the guy's thinking about doing something next year or the year after that, I think this sends a more positive message that we're open for development and that we want to help if we can via this.
Certainly you as council can give it, then you can take it away. So if you ever decided to change Paul's perspective, you certainly have the power to do that. You can give and you can take away. Councilperson Watson?
So. Do we need to do anything? Because I thought the ordinance did.
It's expiring.
Yeah,
oh, the ordinance is expiring. Okay. So will you already go back through? Because December 31st is all through this, and this is written as.
Yeah, but you have a motion and a second, not
a different deal.
No,
the 31st isn't on the table right now.
No, what I mean is so.
You already have to go back.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I said. Does you already have to go back and redo all this? He's just going to go make it work based on what we.
Well, we're gonna change the ordinance to make sure that it complies with your motion, and then we're gonna put in city code that way. We're not gonna leave it as December 31st.
No,
we always clean up everything based on your.
We always clean up our mess afterwards.
Yes, indeed.
And the city code itself currently is silent. I think that it was in the ordinance language where there was a time limitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that there's any text in the code. And as Sam indicates, we would go through, but. I believe that the time limitation was in the ordinance, not the text.
I wrote the first iteration of this, actually.
Badly.
And I don't believe I put any dates, end dates on there. I just want to point out one time, I wrote this for community development. Just
badly.
you can read right.
Just to be helpful with
all
right,
we're going to move on from Russell too busy today. Councilperson Hanson, and then Zimmerman, and then Wexler.
I sort of agree with Keith in the respect I don't like open-ended things, so I would like to move to put a three-year sunset, December of 2015, would that be?
We already have them.
No, he can.
This is an amendment to the motion.
You keep adding layers.
December 31st, 2015?
Was that 3 years? It's 2012 now. Yes, it's an amendment. With a 6-month look at it, in other words, 6 months prior to the expiration the council would look at it again. And they can extend it at that point, but if the economy's improved a bunch, if Rory says, yeah, these are the problems we've had.
Just so everybody's clear, on the second of it, so extending to 2015 with it comes up before council to review 6 months before that.
That's correct.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, it's a motion, a second. So that's the motion that's before you now is for discussion. Councilperson Mutchler?
I'm going to vote against Councilmember Hansen. I'd like to see it permanent. Okay. Although I would, I'd also like to reserve possibly introduce that motion if it fails to be permanent. 3 years is definitely better than 6 months.
And now, speak on the motion, Councilperson Ingram.
Well, the reason that I said just make it policy is the fact that we can always come back and change it. Mm-hmm. As you said, the council can give it and the council can take it away. So in 18 months, 2 years, if Yuri comes back before the council and says, guys, you're killing my staff with this. It's taking us too much time. We can say, okay, we'll end it at this date and be done with it. I don't, as much as I understand Mel's amendment, and I won't strenuously object to it, but I don't see that it's necessary when we've already got the power to do exactly that.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, Mayor, I feel like before we take a vote, to be consistent with our policy, that I don't know if anyone wants to speak on this, but there are developers here, and we would customarily allow them to speak.
Oh, there you go. There's still time on the agenda.
They can only speak on the amendment at this point. No.
That's fine. The amendment is...
The amendment is what's on...
3 years.
The amendment is 3 years.
Don't we all have to agree to that?
May I?
Yes.
3 years is a long time down the road. And one of the things that's going to happen if you don't have a sunset is everybody's going to get used to it. And I can just see the yelling and screaming coming if you do discover problems with it in 2 years when you try and implement back to the old way. This way, the old way is right out in front of you. And you know it's coming. And if the council at that point in time decides to extend it another 3 years or make it permanent, you've had a long period of time to see how it works. That'll make it about 4 years. And I'm not. I'm going to vote the other direction. In other words, if this amendment doesn't pass, I'm just trying to make it easier for the council down the road to definitely step up and take a look at it at that point in time, to see what the ramifications were budget-wise, to see all of the things that are going into it. We don't know what the economy is going to be like 3 years from now. We really don't. So,
Councilperson Zimmerman was up next.
I was going to call the question on that. There is a motion, but...
Well, whatever. So much of it has opened up. I mean, it is our procedure that people from the audience can't speak on issues. So I'll go to the audience. Does anyone want to speak on this issue? There's one right there. Go over 3 minutes, we suddenly have a gun.
Ron York, 1292 West Axon Road. Thanks for thinking through these items tonight. I'm really not sure, Mel, if I can only speak on just the amendment.
You can only speak on the amendment. That's the only thing that's on the floor.
And remind me exactly what the amendment is.
The amendment is 2015, and we discussed it 6 months before December of 2015.
I think I can do this, and just cut me off if I'm screwing up. But I like the idea of Councilman Ingram just leaving it permanent. And the reason why is I wouldn't strenuously object to it either if it went for another 3 years. That's a reasonable amount of time. You've also added something else that said we're going to have 6 months to take a look at it, prior to that time to debate it. That's fine. Having this thing sunset in, by the end of this year, I think is not a good idea.
That's the part you can't speak about.
Okay.
You'll have to wait till this one gets voted on, then you can speak on it.
Okay. will I be invited back up to talk about that then?
If it doesn't pass.
I'd love to do that. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? No. Okay. So the motion on the floor.
to vote on is the 2015, 6 months before that. That's the motion that's on the floor now to vote on. I'm going to go for show of hands just to make it easy. All in favor of this signify by raising your right hand.
They need to say aye for the supporting, please, too.
Aye.
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 Okay. Four. Okay. All opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Aye.
There's just a no. That okay. No one
motion carries, so the motion is it's 3 years. We'll look back at 6 months before.
We now need to vote on the amended original motion.
Actually, it goes back to discussion at this point if you'd like to discuss
it. Yeah, but I just want to point out we still have one more vote in the works.
That's correct.
Okay, discussion on the original motion.
Your motion has been modified now.
We passed the amendment. That should take care of it.
He moved to amend the original motion. The original motion was still on the floor. Therefore, you still have to vote on the original motion.
You have to vote twice.
Yeah. It's procedural.
Rules.
Robert's had a lot of time on his hands, apparently.
Have you beat this issue up to death or any further discussion?
Mm-hmm. Well, this would be your opportunity, Ron, if you wanted to speak with the
ball. I thought I was back in here.
It might be.
So now, if we just voted for, how do we vote on this?
You can vote.
You turn it down.
Yeah. You can turn it down.
Okay.
You have to turn it down.
Yeah, you can.
Pretty bad.
Then his amendment doesn't matter because you.
There's no more indefinite motion. The motion has been amended to be a 3-year program.
So it doesn't matter
why
we vote?
Does the original motion have
you have to vote against it. That's your options are vote yes for a 3-year program or vote no for a 3-year program, and then you can start all over if you
then
like.
Then you could have a whole new
motion after
motion
that.
If you want.
You could eliminate this whole issue.
We're all about efficiency here, you know.
Okay, so a yes vote moves it forward with amendments attached. A no vote on the majority stops, and we go back to square one. So
Wait, is that true?
Yes, you will have killed. You have killed everything.
Moves forward.
A no vote eliminates this, and we go back to square one.
But a no vote, that doesn't prevent a new motion from being presented.
Correct. It just we go back to square one and start the discussion. So all in favor of moving forward, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion goes forward with the amendment.
With the amendment.
We'll see you in 3.5 years.
Resolution, public Wi-Fi policy for elected officials.
I'll try again. All right.
It's 3 years.
3 years.
We're done with that discussion. No more discussion.
Oh, yeah, he said it wrong. He said 2 years. It's not. It's 3.
It's not. It's 3.
Well, it's a 3. It would expire in 3.
But you're going to start discussing it.
Actually, 3.5.
You're right, because we're only halfway through. Thank you very much for clarifying for me. Council members, and before you is a resolution regarding a public Wi-Fi policy for Internet access in all city facilities for elected official use. It's a pretty basic policy. It's literally modeled after the city of Prosper, Washington's. There are a few other jurisdictions that have one. I really wanted to get the one from the city of Olympia, since they're the jurisdiction that has the kind of black mark on them for having conducted illegal meetings via laptop. But it sounds like they may not have one yet, which is kind of shocking to me. Or they weren't very willing to publicly say in an email what's going on with it. I think they're a little bit embarrassed still. The basics of this policy are that it just basically says that we need to make sure we're retaining any public records related to the Wi-Fi, that you're not discussing things with each other over your devices, and there is also an amendment added in committee that requires that all electronic devices using the Wi-Fi be shut off during executive sessions, because obviously under state law, we're not allowed to provide confidential information that was gained specifically based on your elected position.
I'll make a motion.
No, Customer Ingram, hand up first.
Yeah, I will make a motion to approve Agenda Bill 1207-010, but will you add one little teeny thing to that executive session comment? They need to be shut down and removed from the table.
So that's you would like to amend it to include and remove
from the table. In other words, they're back in your briefcase.
So you're making motion to go for the original one and adding an amendment.
That little bitty sentence.
Second for the amendment.
Second.
Okay. Okay, so the amendment first,
Technically, he's just approving it with this change, and I will update it.
Oh, okay.
I would update it based
on
that.
All right. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Not in 500.
Okay, there we go. Mayor reports.
Efficiency.
The other report is Old Settlers Auction. There's two pretty good events. There's Kids Fest at Homelander Park this weekend. Great event for just children new to this year, Homelander Park. And then Saturday night, there's the Old Settlers Auction in the Boys and Girls Club. They're trying to raise funds so they can add a annex or a, I guess, lean-to to the barn so they can have a permanent bar. It'd really help us to rent out the facility in the future if it has a permanent bar. Tickets are still available. They're fairly cheap. It's $25?
$25.
So, anyway, fun time.
It's not a meal. It's heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres. Eat as many as you can. Invite people to get your show. That's it for Mayor Reports.
Where do we get the tickets?
Either at the door or out at
Lori
Irwin's Embroidery Creations, which is just...
Start time is 7?
Just south of Gary's shop, actually.
Is it 7?
Starts at 5:30.
5:30.
Sign of all. It's at 5:30.
Fun time had to be all. Councilperson Watson, then Olson.
There aren't going to be any Wednesday markets at the Ferndale Public Market. They couldn't get enough vendors. So in case you're wondering if you move by there Wednesday, they're not going to have one. They only got 2 vendors to sign up, and so they just can't do it this year. They've got a new market manager, though, and she's doing a really good job.
What happened
new
to
one
the other
since
one?
The other one?
Sure. Yeah, since Heidi Kellogg.
Yeah, since Heidi. Marty.
She
Marty
left.
Crisp. No, Marty's still there.
No, ooh. Heidi Kellogg.
No, Heidi.
She left.
Yeah, she got a full-time job offer with a marketing company.
You have a hard time keeping a manager for a whole year.
That's another story.
It must be a tough board to work for.
Some of the people.
Yeah, that's a terrible board. Councilor
Olson? I'd like to preface it for a question to our esteemed treasurer. How many rate increases have we had on water and sewer in the last 2 years, other than the cost of living one?
One.
2 years? Yes. Only one?
I think he's right, just one.
Yeah. 2 years ago it was 6.5% increase.
The big one. It was what?
6.5% per ordinance, and then this year it was just COLA. 2.8%
for everybody?
Yep. Water and sewer. This year is 2.8% Seattle COLA.
I don't have a problem with the COLAs, but all these discounts and this system that came up with in the last 2 years about how close you are to the water sewer facility. Are we going to start applying that to the roads? I only want to pay for the roads that are from the freeway to my house. I mean, these are ridiculous. Three people in a house. I don't know what your bill is.
Three people in a house.
$278 for three people. That's a 4'11" woman, myself, you know how big I am.
4'11".
Yeah,
how many units did you use?
24.
Ooh,
wow.
Moly.
You have a leak? Because that's
yeah.
A lot.
That's, he says he checked his meter. And
no, we checked your meter before.
Yes.
He hasn't hired a professional.
I have two people, and we use 6.
I use 4.
Yeah, there's 2 of us, and we use
Keith, I've used 27, 28 with 9 of
you
them.
You have a teenager taking showers?
24 hours a day?
Yeah. You have a 20-something taking showers?
A what?
A 20-something taking showers?
Too much information now, guys.
Are you secretly piped into the house that used to be next door? That guy that used to live there, he probably would have done something like that.
You ran a hose on it, man.
I think you should.
2 houses next door. Two houses next door.
The point being of this discussion is if we keep giving discounts to everybody else, somebody's going to have to pay for them in order to get Mark's our project that Mark's helping us with. And
John,
besides me paying for all of them.
You're sounding like a retiree
John,
already.
How many do
you
have?
Your
household.
This is not your typical council report.
In the winter.
I need a ballot.
This is 20.
Thank you, Sam.
This was at my recommendation. I mean, council reports is for anything you'd like to
speak
about.
It was
going to
be a public comment so that we could have the benefit of the audience, but we don't have anybody.
They're
well,
I promise it wasn't, but anything more to add? I want to see the water bills go down.
Okay, there you go.
Stop using so much water.
quick plus here.
You should
look at this significantly because our federal government, this is a funny story, you'll enjoy this. It's a $1.5 million study, and it was, because it's always been the worry in the plumbing industry that we're lowering the amount of water that we flush toilets, so we're going to clog all the old lines. So they thought, well, we better do a study because is this really happening? Are lines really clogging more? And then so $1.5 million later, they came to say, go, no, it's really not clogging it, but it's not the toilets. It's that they're making toilet paper that dissolves quicker now. I read this report, and I go, we spent $1.5 million to discover this?
Toilet paper, yeah.
What a great country.
Is it called the bear and the thing?
Okay, and so their theory is, well, we could go lower with the flushing the toilets. Let's try lower to see if we can still clog people. So, any other council reports? Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, council knows that I'm the liaison to the Planning Commission, and I do want to bring something from the Planning Commission to council and then make a couple comments. They were not happy with council decision last week regarding rezone on portal, and that's fine. Just to quote them, disappointment in the way council handled the rezone, an incredibly bad decision and bad procedure. I don't want to talk about that, and that's fine. But having said that, I think there are a couple things that we could do in these types of things, and I wanted to throw them at council to consider for future action. On this particular rezone, the Planning Commission wanted council to listen to their deliberations that were recorded, and I brought that to committee and mentioned that. But they're not easily accessible to us, although Jenny Walters provides them to me just for asking. She's good at that. But I sure like to see the day when all of council and Planning Commission recorded activity is on the Internet. I mean, I'm not very smart, but I upload stuff to Facebook that has sound to it, and I'd like to see us work towards the possibility that a citizen could actually listen to a certain meeting easily. And I just can't imagine there would be a whole lot involved with that. So can we consider that kind of direction? That way we could come to council. You know, the Planning Commission would love to have you listen to the deliberation on X, and we could do that. The other thing that really bothered me, and I kind of got steamed about over the weekend, was the notification process of property owners when we rezone. Keith asked the question last week whether we had put up the big green signs, yellow signs. Well, I don't know if you realize, we didn't even put up the little white signs. I mean, there were no signs at all when we rezoned.
Well, we've changed that procedure now.
It still wouldn't change this particular situation, right, Yori? This particular action of the city did not require individual letters to property owners or any kind of sign.
Wouldn't we do that now?
I don't think that is correct. I believe that we required that the property owner inform all of the other folks. That's one of the reasons why Mr.
No, I'm talking about 2010. I'm talking not what we did to
Correct. So in our code, it does not state that you need to notify all property owners for such things. And our attorney said you are correct. The city was not required through its code to notify. And that is still the case now. As a procedure,
here's the irony of the situation. A property owner, and we have an example. It happens to be an example, but I'm sure there will be more in the future, and that's why I bring this to council, can have a piece of property rezoned under their nose. They really have no way of knowing unless they read every notice at the library and every notice in the back pages of the newspaper, because they don't get a letter from the city, and there's no sign put up or anything like that. Here's the irony of it. She wants to rezone her property back. She has to post the signs. She has to do the notification. And I asked Ryan, I was just kind of curious, how much did it cost her? She didn't mention that last week. It was $3,000. It was $2,100, $2,200 for the city for the fees and such to rezone it, and it was another $800 SEPA. So it just, maybe it's legal. It just seems incredibly fair to me. She also had to attend two public hearings and the whole thing. The city got to do what it wanted to do, and maybe I'm sure it was in the best. The city felt it was in the best interest of the city to do that. But a property owning is at a great disadvantage here, and I'd like to see the city do it differently next time around. This is really not acceptable.
So you get to modify the ordinance.
We are doing it differently. What we as a policy have done is if your zone is being changed, then, you know, you go the full boat. If there is a change where we allow a coffee shop now and now we're changing in your zone, so a coffee shop with drive-through, we are not obligated to inform them of those more minor changes, and it does turn into a gray area. But when your zone and the whole bulk of uses that may be permitted,
they should know.
It is a gray area, though. We send them a letter now. But it is a gray area as far as what happens.
We should have dealt with this 3 years ago, is what I'm saying. I mean, she could have protested.
That's why it was changed. Mm-hmm. That's why we're doing that.
And that's why the council did what it did. I'm incredibly disappointed that the Planning Commission made the recommendation that they made to us. I think it was wrong. And even after they got all the information which we got and they didn't have, they still stuck by their guns. Hey. Too bad.
Well, and I didn't really want to go there. I just like to see if
they're sitting there saying that's a gateway entrance to the city. No, it's not. Come into the freeway and hit the roundabout. That's a gateway.
Well,
I don't want to rehash this.
I kind of disagree. Yeah. I didn't see the whole Planning Commission. John and I were in attendance. I saw three of them out of seven. I don't think they were that upset. I think it's an issue that, hey, it's not the first time you disagree with the Planning Commission. It's not going to be the last.
As an ex-Planning Commission member, it is frustrating to go through all the work and then send something to council and have council do 180-degree,
That's
thing. But it happens. It is frustrating and things, but... the council is the ultimate thing, not the Planning Commission. And so they do the best they can do. I know when I was on it, we did the best.
Okay.
I didn't bring this as any criticism of the Planning Commission. I just want it not to happen again if we can avoid it. And so my understanding from you is that if we implemented the action today that we did 2.5 years ago, a property owner such as Mrs. Camp would be notified in a different way. I want that kind of assurance. Otherwise, I'm not sure if I'm getting what I'm looking for here.
Yes, the city now would have
and
sent her notice.
Based on some council actions at one time or just policy in the city?
You learn from your mistakes.
Okay.
The other issue, I mean, Tom was more upset. He wanted the information at the same time the council got it. Mm-hmm. We're going to correct that. I mean, when it's a Planning Commission decision, Tom was even equally more upset that he wanted to get the same information you guys got that he didn't have, and he had it was a snafu that he didn't get it, and he came to City Hall and nobody was around to get it to him, and we can correct that.
Well, sometimes though information will be added at a later date,
correct.
And we don't have the ability to just give it to him right away, and it's an open record hearing.
Well, yeah, I think that all the electronic documents were available, the hard copy. Wasn't.
What she said, that you weren't here that night, but she pretty much blamed it on, she came and talked to staff, and staff said, oh, no, it's a done deal. You don't have to go. Go on vacation. I kind of doubt that happened. So, I mean, she said all kinds of falsehoods when she was here. And you got to take them with a grain of salt, figure out which ones are.
Well, yeah, and you guys read the report. I mean, I was at that Planning Commission member, and when he asked her lawyer or whatever he was, and he stood up and said, I don't even know why I'm going to think about anything. Okay, this helps.
He was a 19-year-old kid. He didn't.
I got asked to attend. I forgot my socks.
My mom
said. I don't know anything about anything. Anyway, moving on. Any other council reports? Seeing none. Okay, staff reports. Finance director.
Quickly, two things in terms of our discussion tonight on downtown development. For multifamily residential, it's a reminder, there's already a substantial discount for water sewer connections. And as we already pointed out, if something like a senior housing proposal was made, you'd probably have a good case on TIF funds, TIF money being substantially reduced. And secondly, a comment was made about not issuing bonds for repairs. We have financial management policies the city approved in 2006 prevents us from issuing bonds for repair and maintenance, only for capital projects or refinancing.
The sewer bonds for repairing all the sewers?
Well, it's a replacement, a substantial replacement. I wouldn't call it a repair.
We're not fixing the current pipe. We're literally replacing pipes.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a difference. We're not super gluing something and just hoping it stays or putting duct tape around it. It's not a repair.
It's not a repair.
A lot of that bond issue for the sewer was for the new telemetry device.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah,
it's
all replacement, substantial upgrade, technology. So it's just the point. We can't finance repair and maintenance. That's the road to disaster.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Who's the new police sergeant?
I don't know.
His schedule conflicted with tonight.
Who is he?
Travis.
Travis Glass?
No.
Card.
Card. He's back.
It's Travis Card.
If all our laterals work out, we're going to have probably the largest in terms of height and weight, the largest police force. So.
And maybe just to follow up, we have two openings right now in police force. Two.
And we have two very strong candidates, 6'7", 260, 6'5", 250. We're going big.
Good thing we're not there.
Okay,
I was just going to say that I think that most.
I never asked you anything.
I think you did secretly. I think that most jurisdictions would kill to have the relationship that our planning commission or our council do. I mean, you know, disagreements happen few and far between, and you watch Channel 10 and you'll see, you know, some differences.
Well, we're concerned about their feelings.
And I'd like to commend
six, not seven. So let's clear that up.
Well, and we've scheduled for your October or September joint one hand-holding, so that's going to be like 10 minutes of it. I do have two things, though. We now have a blank wall back there. We had some posters from 2005 that were out of date. We've also talked off and on about some of the inspirational posters that we have and possibly replacing them with nice photographs of Ferndale.
Have you seen demotivators? I want some demotivated.
You folks are pretty much demotivated.
What are you looking for, Yori?
We're looking for you to get to Sam or me with some recommendations of what you'd like to see. So that's one
paint?
Of the things.
I like paint.
Next Wednesday the 25th at 6 p.m. at Ferndale Alliance Church, which is at 6100 Church Street. We're having an annexation blueprint phasing plan open house. That's basically we've invited everybody.
How many hundreds of people?
There are about 50. I think we sent 50 notices.
Is that church providing cookies or anything? Or?
Yes, they are providing cookies. And
whatever you want.
Have you told Diane yet she's providing cookies? What time?
So what do we have?
At 6 p.m. The public is invited to attend. It is not annexing anything, just talking about when the schedule for annexation will be for the urban growth area. What time in the next 20 years do we expect it to come in?
All right.
I got a question. I have no time limits. That's all I have.
City clerk.
For the record, Matt Flynn is going to be the Seattle Seahawks quarterback starting. That's all I have.
You got a prediction on the Titans too or what?
Matt Hasselbeck.
Ooh.
Do you have any statements for public works?
Well, I would, except you already used all my time, so.
I will beat him up later.
The police chief is wanting to make it, but it's crunch time at the new station. We had a couple problems today. We had a condensate drain in the computer thing. We're having problems with communication, so he said, I got to be up there to handle some stuff. He's putting on over time. So that's it for reports.
Is he still shooting for the 13th of September?
We're trying to have it for the same day as, we know that the U.S. Border Patrol is way more important to us, and they're bringing in all the important people, so we're trying to tag on.
I like that idea.
But the drone flyover?
There's been a big change.
No,
actually, it's for the better because they wanted to low-key it, and now they're not. So they're trying to get the senators and Larson and what have you.
Obama.
Okay. And that's ours. Theirs, I won't be there. It's on the 13th.
Yeah.
we're trying to.
Can you arrange it?
Okay, motion adjourned. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.